Hello, everyone, and welcome to Police Off the Cuff Real Crime Stories. I'm your host, retired NYPD Sergeant Bill Cannon, a 27-year veteran of the NYPD. You know, in the Kansas Moms case, there's been a lot of reports, of course, about the confession made by Tiffany Adams, who no doubt was the catalyst behind this entire case. Catalyst meaning she was the planner. She was the straw that stirred the drink, if you will. She planned, she bought the burner phones, the stun guns. There's a picture of her right there, of course. And naturally, when she got caught, you would expect that either she would keep her mouth shut or, in this instance, apparently has taken responsibility for what occurred here. And what does that actually mean then? What does a confession mean? Well, an in-custody confession means one thing, that she confessed after having been read her Miranda warnings. So we all know from watching TV what Miranda warnings are. Of course, we hear it ad nauseum. You have the right to remain silent. Do you understand? Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Do you understand that? You have the right to an attorney. Do you understand? If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be provided for you. Do you understand? If you decide to answer questions now without an attorney present, you will still have the right to stop answering at any time until you talk to an attorney. Do you understand the rights I've just read to you? With these rights in mind, do you wish to speak to me? So those are your Miranda warnings, right? And what real professional, of course, interviewers, interrogators, really good detectives will do is they will have you sign an initial right after each warning. So better now is that not only will the Miranda warnings be part of this interview, but some recording device. What Tiffany Adams, were her statements recorded audio or was it videotaped? Video is preferable because you can not just see and hear, but you can see what the person looks like, how they're responding, their body language, all of those things during the interview. And all we know right now is that she made a confession. What does that confession contain? Because we've all followed this case. And one of the things that we don't know, and everyone, of course, is dying to find out, we know the manner of death is homicide, murder, death caused by another. But we don't know. We do not know the cause of death. Was this blunt trauma? Was this gunshot? Was it a gunshot wound? Was it something else? That would be the cause of death. So everyone wants to find out what is the cause of death here. And another thing, of course, in this interview with a really good detective interviewing, you will try to match up the evidence to the person making the confession. Now, Tiffany Adams, as we know, was the catalyst behind this whole case. She was the planner. She was the kingpin. She was the person calling the shots. So how about matching up the burner phones to Tiffany Adams? Did you buy these? Yes. Where'd you buy them from? Do you have a receipt? All of those things are powerful pieces of evidence once this case goes to trial. How about the stun guns? Where did you buy them from? I bought them from a specific, she told them. That's in the confession. Very important. And then, of course, the most important thing in this confession is cause of death and how did you cause the death. Apparently, she admitted to causing the death of Veronica and Jillian Kelly. She admitted to it. But how was that done? How did you do that? And then, of course, the investigators know going in what, you know, what the cause of death was. Or perhaps they didn't at this point because they were arrested before the bodies were recovered. So this could actually have been the first time they were hearing cause of death from the lips, from the mouth of Tiffany Adams. And then once, of course, they recovered the bodies, they could compare this confession to the evidence that they had from the pathologist during the autopsy. So when we look at these two beautiful women, Veronica Butler and Tiffany Adams, and their bodies recovered on that piece of land owned by Mr. Beasley, and it was leased to Tad Cullum, who was one of the conspirators here, of course. All of that will be part of this evidence and part of this confession. There we have Tad Burt Cullum. Anyway, folks, hold on to your seats. You're about to enter true crime from a police perspective. And you're about to enter the off-the-cuff zone, the police off-the-cuff zone.
There has to be some common sense.
Yes, sir. They have the car stopped in 10th and Grant, Michael
Byers. We still don't know who pulled the trigger.
You know, in this document that I'm going to put on the screen, which is known as the motion to hold defendants without bail, this is page 7. And on the first paragraph on page 7, at the very last sentence, it says, after her arrest on April 13th, 2024, during a custodial interview, Adams made statements to law enforcement indicating she was responsible for the deaths of Butler and Kelly. At a hearing scheduled for April 17th, 2024, Butler would potentially have been granted unsupervised visitation with her children. Adams vehemently opposed this and went to great lengths to plan and purchase items used in Butler and Kelly's murders. The crimes and the bodies were concealed, and attempts were made to obscure Adams, Cullum, Cora, and Cole's whereabouts at the time of the murder. Adams, Cullum, Cole, and Cora were willing to kidnap and murder two victims to limit visitation for Butler. They are therefore willing to take any extreme violent measure to protect themselves and thwart the criminal justice process. Adams and Cullum have a history of violent interactions, including death threats and intimidation against individuals who disagree with their ideas. Members of the conspiracy participated in the multiple attempts to murder Butler in the states of Oklahoma and Kansas. They abide by their own philosophy and have no regard for the sanctity of human life. So this was the document that was drawn, a motion to deny any type of bail. And in that document, that was where it first came out that Tiffany Adams had admitted to causing the death of Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly. So again, that is so important because they can match up that confession with the evidence that they know. This was from News Nation just yesterday, speaking about this very topic.
Case of the killings of two Kansas moms. Tiffany Adams, the prime suspect in the murders of Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly, gave a recorded statement after she was arrested. Investigators say Butler was locked in a custody battle with Adams, her children's grandmother. She is now one of the four suspects now charged with murder and kidnapping. News Nation correspondent Caitlin Becker has been poring through these documents and walks us through what she has learned.
Well, Natasha, investigators are firming up their case against the four individuals accused in the murders of the two Kansas moms who went missing March 30th. We're learning now that one of the suspects, Tiffany Adams, allegedly confessed to law enforcement that she was responsible for the killings. 2 weeks after their car was found abandoned on a rural road in Oklahoma, the bodies of 27-year-old Veronica Butler and 39-year-old Jillian Kelly were discovered in a cow pasture owned by Adams' boyfriend, Tad Cullum. Adams and Cullum were arrested along with two others, and those four are facing charges of first-degree murder, kidnapping, and conspiracy for these slayings. Now, prosecutors say in new court documents that they have no question about Adams's guilt, pointing out, quote, after arrest, this defendant, Tiffany Adams, did provide a recorded statement to law enforcement indicating her responsibility for the death of the deceased. Now, the state didn't go into detail about how far Adams's alleged involvement in the murders went, but according to an affidavit from investigators, she was the last person to communicate with Veronica Butler, and the victims had been scheduled to meet up with Adams the day they vanished. Now, the women were supposed to pick up Butler's children from Tiffany Adams, who is their paternal grandmother, and they were going to have a supervised visit. Now, at the heart of this case is what law enforcement describes as a problematic custody battle between Veronica Butler and Tiffany Adams over the children that she shares with Adams' son. Now, in April, there was supposed to be a hearing that could have tipped custody in favor of Butler. And that is what authorities believe, Natasha, motivated the four suspects to murder.
Caitlin, with that, thank you. And here now to provide more insight, News Nation legal analyst and criminal trial attorney Sarah Azari. Sarah, thanks so much for joining us. And I know you've also been poring through these new court documents. What is standing out to you?
Yeah, so Natasha, look, I'm not shaking in my boots over this indication of responsibility that is being looked at as a confession. I can't tell you how many times prosecutors jump up and down and scream that they have a confession. And then when you actually not just look, read the words on a piece of paper, like a transcript, but listen to the audio, it is really not a confession. So it really depends on what she said, what the context is, what the tone is. All of it needs to be considered. But that said, Natasha, I think this affidavit that was filed along with the bail motion by the state is really damning. It is very robust. It lays out the circumstantial evidence in this case, namely lies by Adams. And we know that where there's lies, there's cover up. Web searches that maybe by themselves are benign and innocuous, but she followed up on them. So for example, search of taser pain level. And then she went and bought five stun guns and there were stun guns found near the bodies. Burner phones. There were three burner phones that she actually purchased from Walmart that were again traced to the locations that are at issue. And then two star witnesses. Those really stood out to me, Natasha, because there is the daughter of Cora, one of the suspects, who essentially says that her parents went on a mission the day that these victims were missing and that they came back and made some incriminating statements to her. She is a star witness, and so is the property owner from whom Adams's boyfriend rents the property where the bodies were found. There's some very incriminating statements that were made to him. So there's a lot of circumstantial evidence, even if there is no confession.
Interesting. I mean, and let's zero in on the confession itself, because it seems on its face that Tiffany made a recorded confession. Can she go back on this? I mean, you say this is not a slam dunk for the case moving forward.
Yeah, it definitely isn't. You know, we got to listen to what she says, because this is obviously an audio, not just a manually written out statement. And we got to look at the context. And sometimes confessions are forced and coerced. Sometimes they just have a completely innocuous explanation. Again, you know, we have to listen to what she said and be able to determine whether this is just the prosecution's interpretation that it's a confession or if it's a really unequivocal confession.
Thank you for watching.
You would think that in a case like this, that is such a huge case, that the confession, that the interrogation would be done correctly by professional investigators. So what this attorney Ansari just said, that sometimes confessions are coerced and forced. I was like, what do you mean they're forced? That is one of the reasons that is so important with that law enforcement, when it does such an important interview like this, a confession, if you will, that it be videotaped. Because when you see a person on videotape and there's their face there and you could see they're voluntarily submitting to the questioning, voluntarily answering questions after Miranda warnings, which I just read to you, after the Miranda warnings, you could see it's not coerced, forced, or anything. So you would think that Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, whoever did these interviews, had their very best people interviewing, taking a statement from Tiffany, who's going to admit to the murders. Don't you think they should have their very best interviewer? And then we get the arrest affidavit that outlines all of the information on that, how she had searched things on her computer. Get her to admit to that. Did you search on your computer how to get someone out of the house? Did you search on your computer how to cause pain with a stun gun? Get her to admit to all those things that's in this affidavit. Get it coming out of her lips. And how did you plan this? Get her to admit everything in this interview. Interviews, confessions for double murders should not be a short interview. It should take hours and hours and hours, and perhaps be 10 to 15 pages long of all the information that you want to solicit from this person and get them again to admit to everything. And then we want to know, of course, what we don't know right now, the cause of death. And the police have not offered that yet, nor has the pathologist. But I'm sure in this interview with Tiffany Adams, she 100% told them how she killed them, right? And when she tells them that and they match that up with the evidence, so important. From the chat, Dr. D, thank you for providing real information instead of garbage pulled off of Facebook. Your professionalism is appreciated. Thank you, Dr. D, very much appreciated. You know something, one of the things I'll just tell a lot of you guys, you know, everyone that does true crime and real crime, we can make mistakes, you know. We can make information mistakes because there's a lot of information and there's a lot of different cases that we cover. But I don't mind someone pointing out to me or to a guest that was on my show that they made a mistake in their information. That's fine, but do it politely. There's some nasty people in the chat sometimes. You didn't do this and you didn't. I lost all my faith, you know. And then people will tell you, I'm unsubscribing. Go ahead. You're a master of your own destiny. I admit to you, I sometimes make mistakes. And, you know, is there anyone on YouTube who doesn't? You know, the difference is, though, I have some credentials. I was a homicide investigator. I was on the NYPD for 27 years. So we know about this stuff. And we know how the best kind of case is put together. And very important, of course, when you talk about a confession. Get that confession, cross your T's, dot your I's, go over it. Have the defendant, have the person who's confessing, have them sign it. Have them sign it at the bottom. Have them sign it on the side so nothing can be put in afterwards. Have it lined out. That's a professional confession. And then when they match up the written confession, in this case, it sounds like there's an audio confession. I don't know why they would use audio. They should use video. And for that very reason that the attorney for News Nation, Ansari, said some confessions are coerced, some are forced. Oh, is that what you believe? Okay, then if they had videotape, they could not say it was coerced or forced when you watch the defendant waive all the Miranda rights and then go and make a statement on what they did. So I don't understand why they would not videotape it. You know, Pauline Buckles, that's a cool thing to say, Dr. D. Thank you. Schmitty, I agree, exhaustive interview. Heather, good to see you, Heather. Schmitty, Sergeant Bill is not washed up. I told you guys the other night, we did a show last week, and someone in the chat said myself, Bobby Chacon, the retired FBI agent, and Mike Geary are three washed up cops. I instead of me getting annoyed, I thought it was funny. In fact, I used it in a thumbnail for our next show. Three washed up cops give their opinion on so such and such. And then when you see the washed up cops, their credentials, Bobby Chacon, 27-year FBI agent, law degree, head of the scuba team for the FBI, been all over the world. Professor Mike Geary, law degree, sergeant NYPD, professor, you know. It's like, yeah, they're washed up, I guess. You know, I guess they're washed up. One law, 214. I can't imagine anyone coercing disgraced granny. You know, one law, I think you're 100% correct. I think grandma would understand her Miranda warnings and would, she waived them though. You know, sometimes when you read Miranda warnings and you really understand them and you say to yourself, why would someone confess after they were just read these warnings? Don't they understand it? The one thing that says, do you understand that everything you say now can be used against you in a court of law? Anyone that has half a brain should say, then I would like my attorney right now. You know, but people go forward and say, yes, I want to make a statement. This is showing some of the court documents that were involved in this case.
Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Jeff Herndon. New developments in the case of the murdered Southwest Kansas mothers. Court documents reveal Tiffany Adams, the grandmother of Veronica Butler's children, admitted to killing Veronica and Jillian Kelly. In the state's motion to hold Adams and the three other suspects without bond, investigators wrote, after Adams was arrested, she, quote, made statements to law enforcement indicating she was responsible for the deaths of Butler and Kelly. The documents do not reveal what those statements entailed. Adams, Tad Colum, and Cole and Cora Twombly were in court for their first appearance today. They are each charged with first-degree murder, kidnapping, and conspiracy. A judge denied all of them bond. It's something prosecutors pushed for. In court documents, they said, quote, now faced with the consequences of a sentence of death or life in prison, the defendants would be willing to do anything since they have shown to be willing to commit capital murder in order to limit Veronica's visitation. Prosecutors say there were many attempts made to take Veronica's life. Other court documents show the years of turmoil between Veronica and Tiffany, but efforts to secure a protection order did not get approved by a judge.
Do you feel like the justice system failed Veronica?
They 100%.
Has it always been like this with Tiffany?
In the last 5 years, 100%, they have failed.
What would you say to the justice system?
They don't want to know. I'm going to have to get off here. Sorry.
Well, the maximum sentence for murder is death, life, or life without parole. Julia Thatcher asked the district attorney if the death penalty is on the table. He told her that will be decided later.
Good evening. So,
I'm Jeff Herndon.
So is the death penalty, they asked, is the death penalty appropriate in this? And it this is a death penalty state. This is a death penalty case. Can the death penalty be assessed? Yes. But one of the things that the prosecution can use the death penalty as is a bargaining chip. But potentially other defendants that potentially could be offered a plea to make the case stronger against obviously the number one target is Granny, right? Tiffany Adams. That's the number one target. Jessa Myers, there are cases out there where crooked police actually botched a confession. Jessa, no doubt. But one of the ways to make sure that doesn't happen is to videotape it, right? Video, how can you botch something that's being videotaped, you know? Anna Lizette, I figure in this case, the defendants are proud of what they didn't believe they were justified in doing it. Jessa Myers, yeah, I agree with Dr. D. I come to you in duty time with Ron for the actual facts and understand from a criminal standpoint. Love you guys. Thank you, Jessa. Very much appreciated. We like the love as much as we like the other side. We don't love the hate, but sometimes you have to take the good with the bad, right? Space Cake. Granny gives Ozark's Darlene Snell energy, in my opinion. Makes you wonder how many deeds have gone unnoticed in her past. Yes, I think that's possible. Jessa Myers, yeah, audio, if you can see if they're smiling or showing any type of emotional growth. You mean video? Yeah, audio is just going to, you'll just hear their voice. I don't understand why they would audio and not video it. Heather, did you hear about the death of Cole Twombly's son, Vern Everett Twombly? He and his dog succumbed to gunshot wounds, unsolved. Heather, I did hear about that, but I chose not to, like, it sort of puts us in a different direction. I want to stay on this case. Creative crisis. You're probably right that questioning of Adams was conducted correctly, but you surely know that coerced confessions and other abuses of authority occur. Skepticism is appropriate. Creative crisis, no doubt. No doubt that can happen. But one of the ways to hold the police, hold investigators accountable, is to videotape things, you know, and including the Miranda warnings. And because sometimes people, they don't believe that someone, what do you mean they would, after you read those warnings, they said they wanted to talk? Yeah. And then when you have it on video and they see, wow, people actually do waive their Miranda warnings and they do speak. So this is all, if, again, you may find this redundant, but if Tiffany Adams confessed, and she did according to the document, motion to hold defendants without bail, according to that, and it lists all of the things that were in the arrest affidavit, if she did and she did confess, what did she say in that confession? We wanted all, one of the most important things all of us want to know is the cause of death. Anna Lissette from the chat, these people told people what they planned to do and didn't hide their actions after the fact. Maybe it won't do any good for any of the four to give states evidence. Well, Anna, there's a possibility that the district attorney will not offer a deal to anyone, that the case may be strong enough that they don't feel they need to offer a deal to any of these defendants, and they may want to put all of them in prison for the rest of their life. That remains to be seen. I'm just saying what the options are from a prosecutorial perspective. People are asking also about this guy, Paul Grice, because he was named by the witness, the 16-year-old daughter of the Twombleys, that he was involved. He was in the planning stages, yet they had him and they let him go.
Mystery fifth man, Paul Grice. He is listed all throughout the affidavits by the teenage daughter of the Twombleys who were arrested and charged with the murder. She says that Paul Grice was present for the planning. Paul Grice was allegedly there for the killings. But Paul Grice is nowhere to be seen and hasn't been arrested. Did that neighbor know him or know anything about him?
He does. He knows him and he knows him well. He is actually Paul Grice's landlord. He's his landlord, Ashley, and he was his employer at one time. So he knows him well. We heard from several sources, and this is new, that Paul Grice was called in. He was actually put into custody at one point and questioned by the police, and then he was released. Why exactly he was released, we don't know. Apparently, they didn't have the evidence to keep him. And talking to that neighbor again and his landlord, he says that Paul Grice is a nice man, and he thinks the people need to hold off on judgment right now. Listen to what he said about that.
Did you know Paul Grice?
Yeah, I know of him, and he has a young family, very nice guy. He's the kind of guy to come up, shake your hand, tell you hi, and anytime I've been around him, he's just been out cleaning and working hard and taking care of cattle, and he seems to be a good guy. My understanding is that he was taken in question, and apparently the OSBI and FBI didn't think it warranted arresting him, so I guess he's not in custody, so I have no reason to believe that he had anything to do with it.
Yeah, a lot of people are questioning it just because he's named in the reports and wondering why he's the one who wasn't arrested.
Yeah, and I couldn't tell you. I know he's a good man from what I know of him.
And again, we've learned from several sources, and this is new, that Paul Grice was taken into custody and questioned and then released. So apparently whatever the daughter of one of the suspects said about him being involved, they just weren't able to find the evidence of at this point. So he is out. He's in the community right now. And a lot of people are standing by him, Ashley.
Wow. Well, listen, you can be in conversations about something, but in order to be a conspirator, you have to act in furtherance. And maybe that's when he, if the teenager's telling the truth in the affidavits, maybe that's when he said, you know what, I'm out of here. And the reports got back to her differently, but maybe he's got an alibi. Who knows? Quick question about the next actions in this case. When are all four back in court? What do we see next?
Okay, so May 15th, 9 a.m., they're going to be back in court. They are all in the process of getting new lawyers. Tiffany Adams, Tad Cullum, Cole Twombly say they are all going to get private attorneys. Cora Twombly was the only one at the hearing who said she was going to want a public defender, which is kind of interesting considering Cole Twombly is getting a private attorney. But again, let's not forget, some of these folks have a lot of money, especially Tiffany Adams and Tad Cullum. They've got the resources to pretty much get whatever lawyer they want, from what we're told. They own thousands of acres of land. Tad Cullum in particular, Ashley, I'm hearing over and over again, is particularly wealthy. So it's going to be interesting to see what legal teams show up because they didn't have lawyers at the first hearing. And so who's gonna be the lawyer come May 15th? That's going to be really interesting because they've got the money.
Yeah, and whether their defense is going to be he did it, she did it, she did it, he did it. That's always fascinating.
Yes, are they going to turn on each other? Yeah, that's such a good point.
Right,
yeah.
Right. That's usually what happens in these cases. So, so much to look at. Thank you.
100% they will all turn on each other, okay? Or actually, they'll start pointing to the finger at, of course, the leader of this whole crew, Tiffany Adams. Everyone's going to be pointing the finger at her. However, when we talk about a conspiracy to commit murder, there are so many things that put them in. They put them in the trick bag here, as my co-host Phil Grimaldi says sometimes. They put them in because they're on the burner phones. They're using the burner phones. They conspired. They planned. They physically took part. And, you know, we spoke about there's two things in the law, mens rea and actus rea. And mens rea is the mental state of mind to commit a crime, right? In this case, to commit a murder. Recklessly, intentionally, criminally, negligently, and knowingly, right? Those are the culpable states of mind. So what's the actus rea? The actus rea is doing the physical act that facilitates the commission of a crime. So both of those things are present here. The mental state of mind to commit a murder or to plan to commit a murder, and the physical state of mind to do things that tend to facilitate this crime. And they are guilty of all of those things. Jessa Myers, Jess, I want to know what she said. I think she didn't even care if she got caught. Even if it meant someone got killed, as long as the kids didn't go to the mother, she's a sicko. Yeah. Carol Owings, people can be just plain mean. Elizabeth McPherson, flashing. That's fascinating, Heather. We have to be, when we try to follow Jessamyah's self-snitching, when we follow true crime or real crime, we should have a working knowledge of the law and what the law, and like just we just spoke about the mens rea and actus rea and the mental state of mind and the act, the physical act that facilitates a crime. It's just important to understand it so you know where the law is coming from, where premeditation comes from, where conspiracy comes from. And, you know, in a case like this, you could have just driven the car and had nothing else to do with it but that. And knowing what you knew, and you could be charged with first-degree murder just as if you were the person that committed the murder. So all of those things are very important to know. Folks, if you like real crime, true crime, from a police perspective, then you're in the right place. And if you're not subscribed to us, go on our YouTube, hit the subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, hit that like button, share us with your friends and your family. It's free to join us on YouTube. If you want to contribute to us, we have a Patreon with three different levels, and we also have a YouTube channel membership with, count them, five different levels, and our channel is growing with all the new faces, all the new friends I see here, and I appreciate all the fans, the friends, the subscribers that watch this show. Wild Z Pony, so enlightening. Thank you, Supreme Commander. For some of you guys that are new and you see some people referring to me as the Supreme Commander, I used to jokingly use that as my nickname when I was an anti-crime sergeant. And I would have my cops call me the Supreme Commander, which it was meant to be a joke. It is a joke, but it's carried through to here, and it's funny. I think it's amusing, but it's not meant to be anything seriously. Art lover, sometimes we label people as sick when actually they are evil. Art lover, you're right. It could be, they could, I agree with you. Jessamyers, could they have let him go and use him as a future witness? You know, Jessa, that's a possibility, but I would think that in this case, they would have arrested him if they had the probable cause, 100%. Jicky, check out the story in York, PA. Stephen Cugini, York City cop, arrested for essay and assault. And oh my God, I don't want to bring that up on this show right now. Art lover, my understanding of these horrible cases isn't complete until I hear Bill's take. Thanks, Bill. Art lover, thank you so much. Folks, I just wanted to come on today for like a short show just to update what we know here and to look at this case and the diabolical nature of what has occurred here. And in the 2 weeks where Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly went missing, the outstanding work that was done by law enforcement in making four arrests, recovering the bodies, doing an unbelievable investigative job, finding the burner phones, finding the connection to the burner phones, locating the bodies that were buried 10 feet below the ground on the property that was being leased by one of the conspirators, Tad Cullum, who leased the land from a guy named Beasley. So all of these things that law enforcement accomplished in such a short period of time is amazing. They did an amazing job, and we're going to keep following this. And one of the things, of course, I want to find out, like everyone else who's in this chat here, we had Tiffany Adams confess. I want to know the cause of death of these poor victims. I think that's important. I think it also shows the callousness and the hatred by Tiffany Adams and Tad Cullum and Cole Twombly and Cora Twombly. And we realize these two women that you see on the screen, Veronica and Jillian Kelly, this was all just about a custody battle. Two people in the prime of their life lost their lives over a custody battle. Crazy, right? And the four people that we've been following, the four people arrested, Tiffany Michelle Adams, Tad Burt Cullum, Cole Twombly, Cora Twombly, they're under arrest and they're not going anywhere. They're not going to get bailed out. They're going to stay in jail till this case goes to trial. And we'll see whether or not the state goes for the death penalty in this case. That remains to be seen. It is a death penalty case, but will the state go for the death penalty? We don't know. But we certainly will find out very shortly when we see the representation that three out of the four have enough money to hire their own private attorneys. Unbelievable, right? The last paragraph of the motion to hold defendants without bail, I'm going to read it to you. Well, I'll read that in the second to last. Adams and Cullum have a history of violent interactions, including death threats and intimidation against individuals who disagree with their ideas. Members of the conspiracy participated in multiple attempts to murder Butler in the states of Oklahoma and Kansas. They abide by their own philosophy and have no regard for the sanctity of human life. Adams, Cullum, Cora, and Cole have resources sufficient to organize and execute a complex murder. Therefore, they also have the resources to flee if given the opportunity. At the time of his arrest, Cullum had a rifle, ammunition, body armor, and a go bag prepared at his residence. Adams and Cullum own numerous guns and other weapons. Adams and Cullum pose grave danger to witnesses and community members. No conditions exist which would effectively assure the safety of the community or any person involved in this case, including court officials, should Adams and Cullum be released. So that was the argument against even considering any kind of surety, bail for them to get out and to be released from, because it's a capital murder case. So no bail for any of these individuals. And as we said, three out of the four have the means. Tiffany can hire a private attorney. Tad Cullum can hire a private attorney. Cole Twombly can hire a private attorney. However, it's a little strange that Cora doesn't have the means to do that, but her husband does. That's a little strange, isn't it? So he won't pay for her attorney, I guess, you know. So he's just concerned with his own butt, right? But he's not going to hire an attorney for his wife. Flower Girl, hello from sunny Vermont. Hello. Jesse Myers, big applause to the Kansas police. How fast they got all this info, arrest and found the bodies in such an isolated area. Kudos. Excellent. DG, none of the four report to have any weapons that would make the COD anything other than brutal. I can't forget the broken hammer. You're 100% right, but we don't have confirmation. I mean, obviously early on we were hearing that it was gunshot wounds, and we're not hearing that now, right? Allie Books, she's crazy. Exeter Line 1930, Azari is a big supporter of Koberger. Well, Azari's a defense attorney, right? Michelle, it was all over custody, 100%. Mashilia, I think they will go for the death penalty. My brother-in-law was murdered in Oklahoma, and they did not because they could not prove premeditation. They said if they could have proved that, then they would have. I'm sorry to hear of your loss in your family. Jicky, why wouldn't Cora be able to hire an attorney but Cole would? They are married, joint property. You know, Jicky, good question. We're not going to hold a divorce hearing here, right? One of them, Cole has money to hire his own attorney, but Cora doesn't, and they're married. How does that work? I don't know. I thought you're right. I thought there was joint assets, and that you know, if he can hire a private attorney, why can't she? You know, I don't know. Elaine McKenzie, hi Bill and peeps in the chat. Hello to all you guys in the chat. Welcome. You guys show up pretty quickly. What do we got here? Azaria, Exeter Line 1930. Azaria is not a nice person, in my opinion. She'll support anyone no matter what they do or who gets hurt. Well, Elaine McKenzie, they look like something from Hills Have Eyes. I don't know that show. Jessa Myers, for a washed up cop, you're not half bad. I like that. I like that. I'd like to know who I didn't save the person that said that. I just found it amusing. You know, it was about Kansas 6-6. It was about power, rage, and control. You're 100% correct. 100% correct. Michelle, my friend and I use that term loosely, put a hit out on her ex-boyfriend. He was killed and they were all put in jail. She has three kids, one of which no longer has their parents. Yeah, this is a tragedy. This is really a tragedy, this case. Svend Larsen. Bill, hello from Denmark. It's been a minute since I was here last. Welcome, Svend. Always welcome. Black Widow, hello. Good to see you. Karen Kennedy, I wonder what is the background of this custody battle. Why kill over a young mother wanting to spend more time with the kids? Makes no sense, but most crimes do not. You're 100% right. Anna Lizette, Cora told their daughter to clean blood out of the vehicle and indicated what they did. Maybe the other three blame her for their downfall. Yeah, I mean, look, we'll find out more. The next court appearance is May 15th at 9 a.m. Hopefully, we'll know a little bit more by that time as the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation releases more information. Perhaps they will release the autopsy report, which they haven't done. Jessa Myers, no condition was the perfect statement. Throw away the key. Glenda Cox, no wonder people hate lawyers so much. They lie as naturally as they breathe. I love that. I love that. Casey Smith, does anyone know if they weren't? Why did the dad that is in rehab and his mom have custody of the kids? There was an allegation made by Tiffany Adams against Veronica about SA from one of her brothers to the children. That was what this was about. And the grandmother at that point had custody, and then the son was supposed to be getting custody as soon as he got out of rehab. But he was in rehab, and they verified that because initially in this case, he was absolutely a suspect. He was a potential suspect in this case. So Michelle Kapp, right. Granny was supposedly worried about the brother Veronica being around the kids, Michelle Kapp. Thank you. You're right. That's exactly it. Do you think that judge will visit Tad in jail, Simon? Or I think that judge is sorry that he ever opened his mouth. And, you know, just so people know, that judge had nothing to do with the family court case. Now, he was a civil judge from another jurisdiction. So people sort of putting it like he had something to do with this case. He did not have anything to do with this case. But just being a judge and going on national television and saying that someone had just arrested for capital murder is a good friend of yours, and he's still a good friend of yours, even though he's under arrest for capital murder. Not, you know, when we use that word judge, that judge does not have good judgment to do and say what he just did. So it's crazy, but he had nothing to do with this case, the family court case, any case. He's a administrative judge, so that sort of took on a life of its own, but he didn't use good judgment. Pamela, do you think Granny's trying to take responsibility so others get off as her idea and went wrong? No matter what Granny says, the others are not getting off. There is no way they're getting off. Jody Holland from the chat, Granny's hatred for her ex-daughter-in-law was greater than her love for her grandchildren. Same with Granny Adelson. Hate has destroyed so many families. I agree with you, Jody. That's for sure. DG, the judge, laugh out loud. I'm sure he was sorry he opened his mouth. Yeah, I think he was probably sorry. I mean, real stupid. You know, real stupid what he did. Casey Smith, the family in Ohio that murdered another whole family over custody, uses that same excuse for what they did. And they all got caught when one of them ratted out all the rest. Yep. Well, that's true. So, folks, what we didn't, we don't know yet what Tiffany Adams, what her confession was. We just know she made a confession. We don't know the cause of death. We know the manner of death is murder, homicide, right? But we don't know the cause of death, which could be blunt trauma based on that hammer found by Veronica Butler's glasses that were left in this, on the side of the road. We don't know if it was gunshot wounds. We don't know the cause of death. So what was Granny Tiffany Adams? What was her confession? What did she say? We still don't know. And that's what we want to hear. How long will it take us to find that out? Could be a while, right? Could be an absolute long time before we find out what Tiffany Adams' confession was. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in today. I'm Bill Cannon from Police Off the Cuff Real Crime Stories. Have a great rest of your day, and God bless everyone.